الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Fortunate Believers in which we are discussing those blessed verses wherein Allah Azza wa Jal has addressed the believers mercifully by saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Inshallah, in this episode too, we will hear another verse beginning with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu and the hukum that is mentioned thereafter. But before that, let us hear an excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's narrated that on one occasion, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, she was sewing a garment when all of a sudden the light of the lamp extinguished. And when that happened, the needle that she was using to sew that also fell on the floor. And you can imagine in that difficult state, when the light goes off, how can she locate her needle? How could she find out where it is? Meanwhile, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to all the worlds, the best of creation, alayhi salatu wa taslim, he entered the room. And as soon as he did so, the brightness of his face, the illuminous face of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, lit up the entire room. Subhanallah. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha is narrating this. And she says, due to the light, the luminous face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was able to locate my lost needle. Subhanallah. Then she praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She proceeds to say, that how bright is your face, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my father be sacrificed upon you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَا يَرَانِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Woe to that person who will not see me on the Day of Judgment. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is that unfortunate person who will not see you on the Day of Judgment? And again, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَا يَرَانِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Woe to that person who will not see me on the Day of Judgment. Again she asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is that person who will not be blessed to see your noble face on the Day of Judgment? And that is when the Prophet alayhi sallam replied and said, the one before whom I am mentioned, but he does not recite salat upon me, that person will not see me on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, think for a moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being in a situation where the beloved Prophet alayhi salam is mentioned and we don't recite salat upon him. Why? Because as per this hadith, the one who does not recite salat upon the Prophet alayhi salam, even though he hears his name in a gathering, then he will not see the Prophet alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment. That beautiful face, that nurani face, that luminous face, subhanallah. That face which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in would describe and they would say, Subhanallah, it was brighter than the moon. Subhanallah. It was more beautiful than the moon. And we need to put ourselves in a position where we are able to see that blessed face on Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah Jalla wa'ala make us from those who recite salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So first, a recitation of the verse followed by the translation. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Translation: O believers, do not advance yourselves before the command of Allah and His beloved Messenger, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the believers to keep in view, keep in mind the respect, the honor that must be shown to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the summary of the verse is that, O believers, it is necessary for you to not proceed before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any statement or action without their consent, without their permission. Meaning you are not to precede them in any action or statement without their permission. Because this advancing ahead of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is against the adab of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're told that fear Allah Almighty in all your statements, all your actions. Because if you have this fear, you possess this fear, then insha'Allah ta'ala, this will deter you from advancing ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah azza wa jal as well. And besides, it's the glory of Allah azza wa jal is such that He hears everything, He knows everything that you do as well. And when this is the case, when the glory of Allah azza wa jal is such that He hears everything, He knows everything, then it is His right that he should be feared. So this was a khulasa of the meaning of this verse. Now, in regards to the sababul nuzul, the cause of revelation, a few aqwal have been mentioned. I'll mention two of them. That number one, it's mentioned that this verse was revealed because a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala an, or some sahaba, they performed qurbani sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha before the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they were made to repeat that sacrifice as well. Why? Because they are not allowed to precede the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that action, in other actions as well. Another reason mentioned is that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that some people, they used to start fasting one day before Ramadan. And the verse was revealed regarding them, and it was commanded not to advance before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahead of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, in regards to fasting. So these are a few aqwal mentioned in the Tafaseer, Tafsir Khazin, Tafsir Madarik, etc. Now Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that whatever the context of this verse, whatever sababun nuzul there is for this verse, the command is general. Meaning, it is forbidden to advance ahead of the Prophet alayhi salam in any deed or action. If one were walking on a path with the Prophet alayhi salam, that is forbidden for him to walk ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there may be some occasions when as a servant, as a khadim, someone is ahead, but that's different, that's with permission, and it's understood that that's not ma'azallah with disrespect. Or if there was another need, protection purposes, or any other reason, like on the journey of Hijrah, we know that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would guard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all angles. And this is so that no harm reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this wouldn't fall under the prohibition of the verse. Now, similarly, if you're having a meal, then it's impermissible to start before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama have also said that giving preference to one's own intellect, one's own opinion, over the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is prohibited, this is haram as well. So this is what Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said. Now what do we learn from this verse? Subhanallah. The first thing that I'd like to mention is that in terms of worldly kings, in terms of worldly leaders, they themselves mention the adab of their court. And they pass it on to their courtiers, their ministers, and they have it implemented. And they say that this is the rule that has to be followed. These rules, these principles. So they make their own etiquettes. And when they die, when they leave this world, then those etiquettes leave with them as well. Those adab that they made themselves finished. A new king, a new ruler comes in, and he has his own adab. But look, without comparison, who is showing us the etiquette of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who is telling us about the adab of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? None other than Allah Rabbul Alameen. Allah Jalla wa Ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the worlds, the one who is independent. But this is his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is showing the adab. He is instructing us how we must behave in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ruling of not preceding Allah and His Messenger, this is not just limited to the time of the Sahaba. This is until the Day of Judgment. As was mentioned, in any action, in any statement, you are not to precede Allah and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And even today, you are not to go beyond the Sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. And other things have been mentioned by the ulama as well. Another thing regarding this verse, that if you noticed the translation, it said do not proceed or go ahead of Allah and His Messenger. Now going ahead of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one can imagine this. One can conceive this, that this is wrong, but he can also imagine how that would be. And we mentioned some examples, walking ahead of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, doing qurbani before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc. But what does it mean by not going ahead of Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is free from time and place. He is free from physicality. He is free from having a body and any needs like that. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is independent. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is unlike His creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay'. What does it mean there? Subhanallah. The ulama say that in this verse, we are told that going ahead of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is akin, is like going ahead of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning if you go ahead of the Prophet Alayhi Salaam, then you can understand that you have also done the same in regards to Allah Azza wa Jalla, even though physically that's not possible. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is free from time, space, having a physical being and body. So this is actually disrespect of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla has ascribed that to Himself. And if you go ahead of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you're going ahead of me. But this shows the qurba, this shows the love that Allah Azza wa Jal has for His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in one verse of the Quran we're told, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has obeyed Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as obedience of himself, subhanallah. Even though when we obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we follow his lifestyle, we can do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from having a lifestyle, free from having a manner of wearing clothes, etc. So here we're told that obeying the Prophet ﷺ is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, subhanAllah, it's a subtle point, a beautiful point. Look at how close, look at the qurba between Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We touched upon this earlier as well. You will find in some ahadith that some sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een did in fact walk ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that was with permission, and that was because of some need, and it wasn't just baseless. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, never would they walk ahead of the Prophet alayhi salam just for the sake of it. They were the forebearers. They are our elders. They are our pious predecessors. They are the ones whose exemplary way we are to follow. This can never be imagined regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So whenever you find a hadith where a particular Sahabi walked ahead of the Prophet alayhi salam, as I mentioned before as well, on the journey of Hijrah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sometimes was guarding the Prophet ﷺ from the right, the left, ahead, from behind. This was for the purpose of protection. He wanted no harm to reach his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are other times when a servant is ahead, a khadim is in front. And this is understood as well. And then when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are occasions where some sahaba were ahead. But that was not out of disrespect. Again, there was a need for that. And in this regard, quite famously, it's narrated that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of his life on earth, he felt ill and he was in a lot of pain. Because of that, he could not attend the salah, the prayer with jama'ah. And instead, he appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to lead the prayer, showing, subhanallah, that the Prophet alaihi wasallam had selected him to be the Imam of the Muslims in the deen, to be the Khalifa of the Muslimun. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is leading the prayer. When all of a sudden the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they realize that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving the Blessed Chamber, he's leaving the Hujra Sharif, and he's coming towards them. And when they see this, they began doing tasfiq. Tasfiq is to clap the back of your hand, the wrist area, to notify the Imam of something in prayer. Now this was the hukum first, and afterwards obviously this was limited to women, and for men they are to verbally say words that the ulama have mentioned in the books. So tasfiq was done, the narration mentions, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he realizes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is appearing and he is coming towards the place of prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gestures, he signals, he says to Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, that stay at your place. But this was the love, the adab, the ishq of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, that he couldn't stay there. The Prophet alayhi salam came, and it's mentioned in various narrations that the Prophet alayhi salam sat next to him and the prayer was concluded. Now here, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala after the prayer, that ma mana'aka an tathbuta idh amartuk, that, oh Siddiq Akbar, what prevented you from remaining there remaining firm in your place when I ordered you? I ordered you to stay there. Why did you come back? And this is when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said those beautiful words, those legendary words, worthy enough of being written in gold, subhanAllah. He said, it does not befit the son of Abu Quhafa, meaning he's referring to himself. It does not befit me to stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the humility of the Sahaba. They did not even consider themselves worthy of standing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How they thought regarding the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, that we are not even worthy of standing ahead in prayer, let alone other matters. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked this question, that why did you not stay there? This was the reply of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Anyhow, the point being that in prayer, when he was in front, that was because of a reason, again. Otherwise, it was not his own personal choice. And then we have other examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in not preceding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in amal, in action, in statements. For example, Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, one of the conditions written was that the Muslims could not perform pilgrimage of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was telling the Sahaba that remain patient, inshallah there'll come a time. So Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he was fortunate to go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and whilst there people thought that he would do Umrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is elsewhere, he said that Uthman won't perform Umrah. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam knows about his ghulam Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, that he won't perform Umrah before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what happened when Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu came back, and the Sahaba asked him, how was it? You must have performed Umrah, you must have performed pilgrimage. And he said, no. Why did you not perform pilgrimage? You were there. And he said, how can I perform pilgrimage without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone, how can I do this? Subhanallah. This was the example of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. High ranking companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Uthman. You'll find this throughout the Sahaba. They had so much adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If ever something happened, a verse was revealed thereafter, they would never do anything like that to precede Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, another point, Alama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi alayhi has said that seeing as the ulama of Islam, they are the as the warithin of the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, therefore proceeding ahead of them is also included in this verse as well, and it's prohibited to walk in front of them. And there's a narration which supports this. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me walking ahead of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. So he said, oh Abu Darda, do you walk ahead of the one who is superior not just to you but the entire world? Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. This is mentioned, this narration is mentioned in Ruhul Bayan under this verse in Surah Hujurat. So just touching upon this last point, here the ulama say it refers specifically to those ulama who are on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have the correct teachings of Islam embedded in their hearts. They hold the correct beliefs and they impart the correct beliefs, meaning the beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is referring to them. And lastly, some respectful people, we know that they don't turn their backs towards the Holy Quran. And even pious men, when pious men are in proximity to them, they don't turn their backs to them. They show utmost humbleness. And again, the origin of this action and many other actions like this, and people may not even turn their backs towards their parents. The origin is this verse of the Quran, showing adab, those who are worthy of being shown adab to. And similarly, I remembered an account of Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, that he named his child Muhammad, his eldest son, his actual name, and then to call him, he named him Ubayd Raza. And he himself mentions that even as a child, I would not stretch out my feet towards him. When he was a child, I wouldn't stretch out my feet towards him. Why? Because his name is Muhammad. And how can I stretch out my feet towards someone whose name is Muhammad? So this adab, subhanAllah, it brings blessings in abundance. And the basis for this, the origin for this, is this verse of the Quran that we heard. Do not proceed ahead of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala make us from those who are obedient to Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are mindful of the adab of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Too much belief.